welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for a mower or a tractor or a zero-turn ag implements, go by and see them. They can get you fixed up if they don't have it. They have a network of over, I think, 35 locations that they can draw from. So if we don't have it, they will find it for you. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
And zero turn, for those of you who don't speak mower, that means that you just spin in a circle and mow the same spot endlessly?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have a steering wheel. It's got little steering levers, and you can spin that thing around on a dime.
Oh.
A lot faster than a rider. But, yeah, go by and see them. They'll give you all the information.
Sick of mowing in those straight lines, because
we
all know I've always hated mowing in straight
mowing's,
lines.
Mowing's a little slow right now in our area, but it's going to pick up. I mean, in the fall when it cools down, grass can start growing again, and get out there and get after it.
Exactly. We're having a cold snap right now. I think it's
it was
like 90 or something.
Yeah,
it was like 116 yesterday. We got some clouds today. Imagine that.
Yeah, if you ever want to watch rain hit the ground and turn to steam, we had that this morning.
Welcome to our world. But we're only 2 miles from the sun, so it's not really all that unusual.
Yeah.
So let's see. You can find everything about our program here 2 miles from the sun at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you're in somewhere terribly hot, okay, I feel your pain. But for the most part, people go, ooh, Redding. Ooh, isn't that the place that gets really hot? I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't like it there.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I was down in the city this last week, and, you know, the city people, they're not all that tough. And they had, oh boy, heat warning, heat emergency.
Yeah.
It was like heat emergency, I think is what was flashing on
cooling
the television.
Cooling stations.
They set up cooling stations. It was going to be 100, and it was going to be, 65 at night. Oh my gosh, the horror. It was hilarious. And meanwhile, I'm like looking on my phone. I'm like, oh, at home, it's like 105. They would all be.
Yeah. I think we cooled down to about, 85 last night.
Yeah, something. It was funny. I went and walked in their park, and it was actually really nice. There was no one there because of the heat emergency. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's actually a cool breeze blowing. What are these guys talking about?
Oh, I need a jacket.
That's what happens when you live in an oven. Just funny. Silly things that happen. I guess we shouldn't talk about that in light of our previous conversation or in light of our ongoing conversation. But, Eureka, when your contacts, is this a good time though to talk about the contacts in China? I was just gonna say we never did really kind of tell people about that.
Yeah, I have stopped to contact them. So any information I got through my contacts here who have direct contact back there. Feel free to ask any question.
Yeah, because didn't you find out some of them were spies or something? Maybe that's too.
They are in the United States, right? They came as like for People's Liberation Army, but they did not let the U.S. government know when they applied for entry visas.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about these people?
No, I was thinking about the people that you were communicating with in China that turned out to be, let's just say, unreliable.
Yeah, not in China directly. I try to contact people like in Hong Kong. They may not be spies, but they are somehow inappropriately, as a spy would do, try to link the student demonstration over there with the demonstration, with the violent demonstrations that were taking place in the United States in the past month or two. So they were making that kind of connection. And that was really troubling me. The reason I wanted to contact them, because I would like to get a first-hand, I think it was like Hong Kong was already kind of under the new national security law, but a lot is still taking place. They have communication channels, not like under supervision of the Communist Party directly. I stopped the contacting people in mainland a long time ago. Of course, I still like t- talk to my like immediate family, right, or very close friends. But I always assume when I talk to them that everything was like somehow someone would be able to tap into that.
Oh yeah, somebody's listening.
Yeah. So I refrained from asking, even like for food shortage that we're going to go to shortly, I refrained from asking them anything like that could incriminate them as like leaking out confidential economic information or like leaking out sensitive political information. So I refrained from that. But for people in Hong Kong, they use like Twitter. Like they use like Facebook, they use like some other, like something, I don't know how to pronounce, that's in French, it's Parler. So they use these new tools for like talking, Telegram and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I thought I would ask them some questions, right, because we shared opinions. I was sympathetic to their protest. But they did not seem to understand the situation in the United States that well, and they did not see the ingredients, the fake dollar bills, right, the assault weapon parts, and the fake IDs, and the fentanyl, and all these are ingredients of violent protests here. And while Hong Kong, those students in Hong Kong, they have none of that. They are not like drug users, abusers, right? They don't have guns. They don't. They pretty much just like going onto the street. Some with wearing masks when the police were overly using tear gas and to firing tear gas. And so that was the I wasn't able to get enough information from Hong Kong regarding how they're gonna take this new national security law. But so in Hong Kong, I only scooped everything so far from news reports, public reports, which the state security and also the police and the authority under the new national security law arrested very prominent news media tycoon Jimmy Lai and his two sons and another 23-year-old girl who spoke fluent Japanese, and she was kind of an icon in the community of even in Japan itself, many people know about her. And so they arrested us. There was a huge tug of war between the camp of free countries condemned this act and demanded the release of these people arrested. The media tycoon and his two sons and also executives working in the media outlet, like a total of maybe 9 people. The girl belongs to a separate group, another like pro-democracy group. And it is under Western pressure, especially Vice President Mike Pence tweeted with a picture of him receiving Jimmy Lai in the White House, saying, Jimmy Lai inspired me, his ideals and his action and all that. So then China decided to release him on bail, while everyone, when they were arrested, according to the Article 42 of the new national security law, no one was supposed to be released on bail unless the court could prove that they're not gonna pose any threat to national security. So now the burden lies on, burden lies in the hands of the court. And of course, the court wouldn't like make that promise. And if they were released on bail, usually they would be prohibited from talking to media. So these restrictions, we're not seeing them yet, which is good, which like governments, like the U.S. government and other governments, their pressure appears to be working. It is very important, like international community keeps an eye on Hong Kong, how we continue to support them. And so that's about what I have for Hong Kong.
Okay.
Well, we hope they succeed. I don't know what success really looks like for them. Maybe before we leave that topic, when we come back, Eureka, if they were winning, what would it look like? We'd like to hear that from you. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us online any old time at wethepeopleradio.us.
So glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, you'll get your money's worth. With this show, it happened.
They can't. Can't have more promotion than that. That's like the ultimate promotion song. We'll just let it stand on its own.
That's right.
So, Eureka, if the students in Hong Kong, or let's just say the people in Hong Kong, I don't care if they're students, but in Hong Kong, when if they were winning, what would it look like? Because now it's kind of gone a little bit quiet out of the mainstream of reporting.
Yeah, but they are not winning.
I know. That's kind of what I was worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, but they are not. And we with all the support led by the United States government and also U.S. Congress, a lot of congressmen were standing very firm, standing tall against this regime rolling out this national security law in Hong Kong. So they had to release these nine people on bail. Before it reached 48 hours, the police could hold them in custody for 48 hours. After that, their case would have to be filed to the court. With the new national security law, and they would not be allowed to be bailed. So when they were held in custody in the police stations, the police weren't able to make any decision. They had to call. And according to these victims, They figured that these police officers were not just calling to the Hong Kong authority. They were waiting for instructions directly from Beijing. So in the end, they were released before 48 hours. So Beijing did not have to lose face of taking them, filing, of bringing charges against them in court, and then somehow violate Article 42 to allow them to be bailed. Yeah, bailed to go back home. So that was how the tug of war was. It was like in a few hours, then both sides, there would be very little buffer. The Beijing wouldn't, it would cost it too much politically to show that they're still in control, for Beijing's rulers to show to Chinese people they're still in control. They want to always present themselves as like they're not only in charge of China mainland. They're in charge of Hong Kong. They're in charge of Taiwan. They're calling shots in the United States through these, like, communist parties, right? Extreme parties who are able to start this violence whenever they wanted the violence to be breaking out in Chicago or in Minnesota. So now that's the image they're presenting to the Chinese people. Basically, the United States is on the decline, right? It won't be able to to restore order, and then but at the same time it has a lot of weaknesses. Its legitimacy is being called into question on several fronts. I think this may be a good time to talk about the food shortage. It built up its legitimacy after 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre by developing a prosperous economy. and everybody would be better off and would have a car to drive, would be able to purchase his own apartment. And that's kind of a contract between the communist regime and Chinese people. Basically, you will be able to have a good life to live here, but you will have to shut up. We have set up all these surveillance cameras, right? Whatever you say or wherever you go. So they set all this up. So this was an agreement, kind of. They didn't put this in writing, but the indoctrination of young kids in school were told that China, Communist Party, did two great things. First, it drove away all the imperialists. The second, it developed this very prosperous economy. And everybody is like having having school to go to, having a wide choice of food, and have cars, have the latest gadgets, and Huawei probably is the leader. They present the image of the leader of 5G technology. But in fact, Huawei is not even able to produce a CPU for its cell phone. So there is this gap. And now with this, a lot of 27 provinces out of 31 or 32, like administrative zones at the provincial level, there are 30. When I was there, there were 30, including Taiwan. They counted Taiwan, 30 provinces or municipalities. But now they have this Hainan Island, which is west of Hong Kong. They were saying they're going to develop Hainan Island into a financial center to replace Hong Kong. That's what they were saying. I don't think New York City, right, was how, like Jimmy Carter had a grand plan, then New York City became international financial center. I don't think it worked that way. But that's how the rulers are thinking. And then because of the flood, 27 provinces, the flood took place like May and June. This is time where crops were growing. So it was all destroyed. So there was this worry about food shortage. And in China, the government at the federal level, they call it the national level, the statistics, you are never able to read and decipher, because they say China was able to produce 80% of the food it needed. It imports 15-20%, and sometimes on the harvest, on a good year, it would be able to produce 90% of the food it needed. So it would need import only 10%. And this year they're saying food production number was fluctuating between 3-5%. So there was no impact of the flood. But at the provincial levels, the numbers are falling short. Some provinces, they're short as 25%. Some were more or less. Some were 15%. Even those numbers cannot be trusted. So that's the source of the food shortage. And the people can tell from their paramount leader, Xi Jinping, Secretary General, Xi Jinping's latest directive. He said everybody has to be frugal. And if 9 people going into a restaurant, instead of order the size, right, the size for the food dishes for 9 people, you should cut 10%, so order for 8 people, so as to be frugal. People are no longer getting used to that. So they are losing the consensus after the Tiananmen massacre. The government is no longer able to maintain the economy at this speed. It is not even able to maintain status quo. So people were saying, now, these governments, these top leaders, they entertain North Korean leader with this super, super expensive liquor, Chinese liquor, called Mao Tai. And to produce liquor, you have to use a lot of food. So you would be able to produce a tiny cup of liquor, because just like Japanese sake, I think, right, is made from food. while they were, like, each bottle would cost like 180,000 Chinese yuan in currency, which translates about 6 or 7. So it will be $20,000-$30,000 worth for that liquor. So it is people who are drinking this kind of liquor are telling people who are like below poverty line to be frugal, to save.
Wow.
And this is one front where they're losing legitimacy. So they're having a hard time. Although they are ruling Hong Kong with an iron fist, yeah, they have their weak part.
Once you start rationing food, people can't eat. You're going to lose consensus. That can't possibly go on for long. Although they've had famines in China before, and they haven't really done much about it. So,
well, are people just not? People are not allowed to. I mean, you don't get to question anything. It's not like here where, you know, we all rush the city council or the board of supervisors and go in and demand answers. I mean, if they tell them whatever the government tells people there, do they actually believe it, or do they just have to pretend like they do?
Yeah, they would send out like security forces to arrest you, and they'll find out who was organizing that. And with the flood, I saw a lot of videos about the flood, and the people's cars were swept away, and in the country, their cows and their oxen, they were swept away, and they have nowhere to file a complaint. And the it's even worse than what I described, because the flood does not come from nowhere. The flood came at the order of government officials, because they have built up all these dams, and because of the water, the rising water level, the dams were like couldn't hold that much water, so they flood the downstream area.
Oh, so there was no they didn't release the water so they could catch it later. There's no planning.
Well, the giant dam they built was touted as the greatest flood control dam ever built. That was one of was the main reason they built that dam was
Three Gorges.
That's right, and that dam was supposed to stop all the flooding that was pretty much an annual thing. And here they have a wet year, and the dam does no good whatsoever. Actually, they're saying it's done more damage than good. So.
Yes, in dry weather, they want to store a lot of water so they could use that to produce electricity to make money off that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's in wet weather, a lot of heavy rains, they want to flood downstreams. So that's why they hurt you when it's dry. They hurt you when it's wet.
Yeah. So yeah, net, not a lot of gain for the people when they built that dam.
I'm sure they were told it was going to be magical.
And there was actually some talk that dam may fail because of the amount of water it was holding back. That was one of the reasons they were dumping water, was they were afraid that dam was going to fail.
Yep. That would have flooded the fields where they just planted the crops. And so this thing like it comes to a full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. Poor people. All right, got to take one more quick break. I can't believe we are it's like we're time traveling. Looking at it, we have approximately a half hour left. So we'll stop asking you questions and not jam up your agenda when we come back. Our guest is Eureka Young, and you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Liar, liar, liar.
Okay, the quiz question. Where's that come from, Bill? Give us the source of the Food Glorious Food song.
I'll give you a clue.
It was a musical.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
How about... Okay. His first name is the same as our robot vacuum.
Oliver? Oliver Twist.
Man, that was hard.
Well, I'll drag that one out.
Woo! If you're on, what is it? What's the show where you have to count on your family to answer questions?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Don't go on that one with Bill. Short answer, don't go on that one with Bill. All right, back to the matter at hand. So, Eureka, you know, is there any... I know you've posted some really good links for people on today's program, which is the August 16th, 2020 page on the website. And you've posted a lot of good sources for the information. So, you know, people don't necessarily have to believe you, although I think they should. But, you know, you have quite a bit on here about the election politics and what's happening with the influences of China and the folks that would like to see our country fall in line. How's that?
Yes, and all the topics that we covered where the influence, foreign influence is coming from Beijing. And those fake IDs, those violence, like violent protesters, they were like sponsored by communist and extreme groups in the United States who are closely tied with the Chinese Communist Party. And the party, while it is losing its legitimacy within China, right, although at the same time it presented to Chinese people, everything is under its control. It is very strong while the United States is in a mess. And what's going to happen if they win? What's going to happen to people in Hong Kong? What's going to happen to people in Taiwan? And we talked about, I believe President Trump mentioned this, when people asked about Hong Kong, President Trump said that if you have no freedom, right, then you won't have like a financial center, and the United States are going to withdraw incentives that we granted over there. And so the suffocating political atmosphere is suffocating China's economy. But another part of that, since I believe this administration comes to a really good understanding of the nature of the Communist Party, and it is taking very effective measures to further take away the legitimacy that the United States granted Beijing's leaders starting like early 1970s when the negotiations started. It eventually recognized Beijing's government as China's legitimate government by January 1st, 1979. And because of Beijing's Chinese leaders' interference into U.S. political process, I think this administration is taking very effective countermeasures to stop them from doing that. And I have to applaud that. And those links, it's not that you have to believe me. Those are what this administration did in counter this foreign influence. Very harmful to American values. Very harmful to American political process, to our way of life. And for cabinet-level officials, like Robert O'Brien, National Security Advisor, Attorney General William Barr, and FBI Director Christopher Wray, and the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, they came out, they laid out, for example, how PLA, right, agents, their researchers are coming in to steal information. Even a Communist Party member would be very loyal to the Communist Party. It would do anything that the party tells him or her to do. For within PLA, it's within Army. The command that comes down from a higher level officer would even be more strict, so the soldier has no choice but but to do whatever he or she is ordered to do. So these people are coming to the United States, and like every like 10 hours, a case was filed with such like intellectual property theft. That's from Christopher Wray. And I believe National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, he gave a more like a historic overview about how this party remains a Leninist, it's kind of Stalinist and Leninist Soviet Union type of party, living off its people, applying dictatorship within its territory, and also trying to destroy other social systems while dominating the entire world. So that was the nature of that. And this administration also, besides these historical perspectives, they sent out Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, to Taiwan. And this Taiwan is at the very core of mainland China's legitimacy. When Richard Nixon visited China in 1972, I know the dates because I kind of, the geographic kind of, geopolitical analysis, like, has to be based not on, like, hearsays, like, whether we can prove there's a million, right, in concentration camp. It's all based on declassified government documents and agreements they signed. So when Richard Nixon went to China, Chairman Mao was the paramount leader back then. When he met with Richard Nixon, he said, an old friend of both of us, General Lissimo Chiang Kai-shek, who was then the leader in Taiwan, he lost the mainland to Mao. So he retreated to Taiwan. Mao said, General Lissimo Chiang Kai-shek wouldn't be happy about your trip here. He called us communist bandits. And Henry Kissinger and all the U.S. like top officials and security, national security advisors on these people, they analyzed what Mao meant. What Mao meant was, we are not in the United... they just entered the United Nations back then, I think. But it wasn't recognized by the United States. So both sides need to have formal diplomatic relations so as for China to be legitimate. So then after eight long, arduous years of arduous negotiation, United States agreed to establish diplomatic relations. And it is very subtle, the agreement. Richard Nixon and Mao issued Shanghai Communique on February 28th, Beijing time. It's February 27th, U.S. time probably. And so we may see two dates on the official websites, depending on the language. And for Chinese, it may be showing February 28th. Within that, it was the initial contact, the first communique of the three. The two countries did not establish diplomatic relationship till 1979. And in that, there was a critical statement which goes like, the United States acknowledges the Chinese, acknowledges that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain there is but one China, and that Taiwan is a part of China. So within that, back then, the United States did not recognize that Beijing is the legitimate government, but it recognizes that there is one China and Taiwan is a part of China. But the United States never defined what China is. And the United States' position has been that whether Taiwan joins China, become a union, becomes one country or not, the process need to be peaceful. While Beijing had long hidden this fact, this U.S. position from Chinese people. So this is its legitimacy. By sending Alex Azar, Secretary Azar, to Taiwan, United States is effectively telling Beijing, your legitimacy is being called into question.
Yeah, that was a big move, and I don't know how many people caught that, but whether or not Taiwan will survive that, I don't know. But it was kind of the first big move on the United States' parts to recognize Taiwan as a legitimate.
It's amazing it hasn't been done already.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to take one more quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Eureka Young. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. Figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you, and still the government won't admit they faked a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning, don't mind that. I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy. There's a big conspiracy.
My, where'd that come from?
Well, you know, it's funny because I always figure the people who think that we're just making all this up, that's what they think about us. The bad part is they have no sense of humor, so they probably don't understand the song. But, I mean, this is all true.
Yeah.
That's the...
Sadly enough.
I mean, it's all true, but then... and then the other part is we were watching Better Call Saul, and, you know, he wears a foil wrap because he's allergic to electricity, so there was that sort of knocking around. That was Weird Al. You can't get through a whole show without playing something from Weird Al. And some of this stuff, frankly, is so crazy that... I don't know. I guess it needs Weird Al. Eureka? I know there's so much more... But is there anything, you know, in this last, like, you know, 10 minutes-ish that we haven't hit that you think is really important right now?
Yeah, I think I can squeeze the key points.
If only we would stop screwing around. Yeah, sorry about that.
I have our 6 minutes. So many people were challenging, like, whether, what they heard from this program are true or not. That was because... Chinese government, the Communist Party, has censored not only through Confucius Institute, which is now being called a CCP agent, rightly called so, and they are not only censoring U.S. professors, U.S. students, they have long been censoring U.S. officials who are dealing with China. When these officials, you wouldn't be able to believe that, this administration is the first in well over 40 years who dare to call a spade a spade. And they do it like this. First, if you say something, if you refer to Taiwan as Taiwan, they would be angry. You cannot use the term Taiwanese, because that would kind of hint on Taiwan. People in Taiwan have their own identity. Mm-hmm. You have to call them Chinese. That's how in this, which I read already, I'm going to read it again. I'm reading it. I couldn't memorize. The United States acknowledges in Shanghai Communique that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain that there is but one China and that Taiwan is a part of China. You see, they want the United States to say it is Chinese on both sides of the strait. And they want to acknowledge that there's one China and Taiwan is part of China. The only place Taiwan occurred twice. One is Taiwan Strait, a geographical name, and another Taiwan is a part of China. And of course, the United States said, acknowledges. United States did not say that we agreed to or something. We agree that you, all Chinese, right? Of course, the you wasn't in the... It's not very polite to see you, but that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain there's one China. So then Chinese government was able to use this to tell Chinese people that, hey, United States said... They didn't say United States acknowledges our position. They said United States said there is only one China and Taiwan is part of us and we are China. United States said none of that. The United States only acknowledged that it's your position and that all Chinese considered took it that Taiwan is, there's one China and Taiwan is part of China. And United States did not define what China is, whether Taiwan will eventually be part of China or not. But that is how, when it is not able to censor U.S. officials like Henry Kissinger, who signed Richard Nixon, who signed it, they would force U.S. negotiators to phrase in such a vague way so that they could go back to tell Chinese people to lie to them. Now we heard, China lies, right? People die. So that's how they do it more subtly. And when... Later on, especially during Obama administration, we were very weak in our foreign policy. Then they wouldn't. Most of the U.S. officials would oblige. But when U.S. officials do not, China will say, oh, they agreed to something. Oh, they acknowledged something without quoting U.S. officials directly. So a huge difference this administration.
Well, yeah, they didn't quote Pompeo when he referred to Taiwan or the Taiwanese people.
Yes, exactly. Pompeo mentioned in his speech two Taiwans and twice Taiwanese. And the way he said is different from this Shanghai communique dating back to 1972. So that's why I'm saying there's Chinese zodiac. If we go to a restaurant, there are 12 of them. Each year is a year of ox, a year of like a ram, a year of a dragon, and it's for 48 years, four full cycles of Chinese zodiac. The first U.S. official referring to Taiwan as a country twice, saying Alex Azar went there to see how Taiwan handled Wuhan virus so successfully as a country. That's referred. The second time he referred to the country is... It always kind of amazes me, or surprises me, I forgot the term, that Beijing would become so angry when our health minister would go visit a country. So, again, called Taiwan a country. And he referred Taiwanese twice. One was the partnership between the United States and Taiwanese government. Another is with Alex Azar going there. We are still holding on to the commitments made between us and the Chinese, between us and the Taiwanese. So he is not saying across the Taiwan Strait, both sides are Chinese, which I believe Jim Rogers, Jim Rogers, was Secretary of State on Nixon's delegation in China. He challenged, he said many people, 80% of people in Taiwan, they do not consider themselves as Chinese. So this foundation that underpins this communique wasn't really solid. Only Chinese acknowledge one China, and Taiwanese may not. And Mike Pompeo now is bringing this to the surface. So we need respect. They blossomed using Pompeo's speech at the Richard Nixon Library. Pompeo said, we marginalized people of Taiwan, which blossomed into a vibrant democracy. So now these people in Taiwan, through their own aspiration for freedom, made themselves a very strong partner. They earned the place of partnership with the United States, and this is also calling Beijing's legitimacy into question. And I really commend this administration for doing that. There may be disputes about whether we should give $300 out for the or whether $400 or $600 for the those who lost their jobs due to Wuhan virus, but to take legitimacy away from China, so to stop it from threatening the United States, stop it from interfering our political process, and so as to effectively protect America's prosperity, America's values, and our way of life. And so these are the very important questions that we need ask ourselves in the remaining like 80 or so days leading toward November the 3rd.
Yeah, I think for anybody who's unclear how to vote, they should listen to all the shows we've done on China. And they can get a sneak preview of where we'll be headed. For everybody who thinks just a little socialism leads to just a little communism and it'll be so much better here than everywhere else. Yeah, not so.
No, not going to work.
Mr. Young, we have successfully burned two more hours. I cannot believe it. Every time we have you on, it's like, what? We hardly got through anything, but we would love to have you back again in the future, of course, and any information you have to share with our audience, we always love it. Thank you so much for all your hard work, and let your friends out there know that we're pulling for them. You're listening
to
We the People. You can catch us online all the time at wethepeopleradio.us.